Now that we have a definition of direct taxation, and it includes income tax, and we know that direct taxation is the exclusive jurisdiction of the provinces, it begs the question, why do we have a federal income tax, or even a GST? In fact, why do we have any taxation? Let me just expand upon this for a moment. If the people own the country and all its wealth, and the government is our trustee, being entrusted with the control and management of our wealth or natural resources, where is our money? For about 150 years now, the government has been managing our wealth and the corporations extracting and manipulating them. There must be some money left over. At least it begs the question, why are we paying anything to the government when they have all the wealth and money, holding it in trust for us? The fact is, and it is a self-evident truth, that the government owes us and should be paying us annually. Instead, we labor to the point of exhaustion in order to create wealth for the international bankers who actually control our government and our resources, and yes, they control us as well. The Federal Income Tax Act was introduced in 1917. The express purpose, at least what Canadians were told the purpose was in order to pay the cost of the First World War. In subsequent parliamentary debates, the question was asked why we still have a federal income tax when the cost of the war was paid off in 1929. The question reveals that there is a hidden agenda and that the Federal Income Tax Act has nothing to do with the express purpose for its introduction. The real reason the Federal Income Tax Act was introduced in 1917 was in order to service a national debt that was growing at enormous and unprecedented rates due to the introduction of the Bank Act of 1913. This act, either by acquiescence or by the statute itself, gave the power to create money and control credit to the private banks. This, too, in accordance with the Supreme Court decision of 1950, is ultra vires the powers of Parliament. I hope you can now see that the real problem is not your government. It is the money changers, the international bankers, the Rothschilds and Warburgs, and yes, the Rockefellers. You see, the purpose of taxation of all kinds, and even the courts and license fees, speeding tickets, and the like, parking tickets, is all designed to take the bank's unlawful and debauched fiat currency out of circulation and return it to its creator, the banks. Once you cut through all the smoke and mirrors, that is what you come up with. Some of you may find it rather unbelievable that the private banks actually create all of our money out of nothing, loaning it to us at interest, and we are required to pay this money and the interest back to the banks who created it. The overwhelming evidence of the truth of this statement is contained in the minutes of proceedings of the Standing Committee on Banking and Commerce held on March the 8th and 16th of 1939. Witnesses that were called during these proceedings were Dr. W.C. Clark, Deputy Minister of Finance, and Mr. Graham Ford Towers, Governor of the Bank of Canada. At one point, Mr. Towers was asked this question. Mr. Towers, when you allow the merchant banking system to issue bank deposits, which, with the practice of using the checks as we have it in vogue today, constitutes the medium of exchange upon which I think 95%, at that time there was a 5% reserve requirement, which was eliminated by Mulroney in 1991. Now the banks are required to have no reserves and are totally unlimited in the amount of money that they can create. I continue with the quote. I think 95% of our public and private business is transacted, you virtually allow the banks to issue an effective substitute for money, do you not? And Mr. Towers' answer is most revealing. He replied, the bank deposits are actually money in that sense, yes. This kind of exchange continues throughout 854 pages of minutes that I have in my possession. Therefore, I trust that you can see the relationship between taxation and the fiat currency money system that we have in existence today. If the government was issuing our money, as they are required to do by the Constitution Act, then we would have no taxation whatsoever at the federal level, other than taxation of corporations on the extraction and use of our natural resources, or our wealth. This wealth would then be turned over to us, minus that portion which the government used to provide the services to us that we authorized. Now let me discuss some more interesting facts. Let's talk about the government itself. I will not take you through the entire history of the government, simply enough to establish one fact. The government of Canada has no lawful authority to exist, and as such, it is a criminal organization, and will remain so until authorized by the people of Canada by their writing and acceptance of a constitution. The government of Canada, aside from being a criminal organization having no lawful authority to exist, is nothing more than a puppet government operated by the oligarchy. That is a government of a few families totaling about 13 in number. Every law that is passed in this country today is ordered by the Privy Council, who in turn takes its orders from the oligarchy. This simply means that we are being governed by a foreign, hidden, and unelected governmental dictatorship. To demonstrate that the Canadian government is a criminal organization, let me take you through a few publicly recorded and available facts to prove it. Under the Constitution Act 1982, Section 52, Subsection 1 states, and I quote, "The Constitution of Canada is the supreme law of Canada, and any law that is inconsistent with the provisions of the Constitution is, to the extent of that inconsistency, of no force or effect." Under the Constitution Act, Section 2 states, and I quote, "The provisions of this Act, referring to Her Majesty the Queen, extend also to the heirs and successors of Her Majesty, kings and queens of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland." And it says this, "Be it known that Section 2 of the British North America Act 1867 was repealed by the Statute Law Revision Act 1893, and the power of the Crown was thereby transferred to the Lord High Chancellor of England in Chancery, and that the Home Office contained that branch called the Colonial Office. Sir Charles Schuster, Clerk of the Crown in Chancery, by warrant under the King's Sign Manual on the 23rd of March 1931, was the person who signed the last valid and lawful Canada Letters Patent under the Great Seal of the Realm, constituting the office of Governor General and Commander-in-Chief of the Dominion of Canada. Canada was removed from colonial control by the Colonial Office of the Crown in Chancery, which removed the statutory power of the clerk in Chancery to issue any more letters patent for the office of Canada's Governor General. Prime Minister R.B. Bennett, on the 10th day of August 1935, by the command of His Majesty, an heir and successor to Queen Victoria, despite this heir and successor having been removed from the British North America Act of 1867, by the repeal of Section 2 of the said Statute Law Revision Act of 1893, and with the power of the Crown remaining in the Chancery in the United Kingdom, did thereby commit fraud against the Canadian people by signing a commission appointing the Right Honourable Lord Tweedsmuir to be Governor General and Commander-in-Chief of our Dominion of Canada, with a continuance of all the powers and privileges of that office. Additionally, please understand that all public officials in Canada are in grave danger as the people of Canada become aware of the crimes committed against them by their government and the government officials. It is little wonder there is so much security at courthouses these days. These people know that the day of reckoning is at hand. The least that we can expect to happen is that charges will be brought against all these people in due course. CCRA is a privatized criminal organization reporting directly to another NGO or non-governmental organization known as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, who in turn receives its orders from the BAC, that is, the British American Commonwealth, who in turn receives its orders from the oligarchy, possibly with a few other intercessors along the way. CCRA is, therefore, another foreign criminal organization, and I, for one, refuse to comply with orders from such an organization,